Alrighty, guys, let's go ahead and gather back together. I know for some of us this may feel like a weird time to do greeting and saying hi, but like we truly believe we are family here, so we put in a big emphasis on making sure that we're reaching across the aisle to say hi to our family members, especially those that we may not know or may be with us today. I'm going to kick us off in prayer because that's where I feel like we really need to start today, because we're going to have a hard conversation. So let's pray. Dearly Father, Lord, today, Lord, we need you. We need you every day, but even more so in this moment as we're going to take an intentional look at an area of our life that a lot of us don't want to talk about. A lot of us don't want to think about, or we don't think about because we've become comfortable, we've become complacent and stagnant in our walk and in our faith. So God, reveal to us right now convictions that you have for us that we can empty out before your feet and just surrender all to you today, Lord, and then we will respond by worshiping and praising you at the end. God, you do the hard work. You've already done the greatest work on the cross. Now continue that work inside of our hearts, shaping us, changing us, molding us into the image of Jesus in this lost and broken world. So be with us, dwell with us today, Lord. I thank you and I love you for calling us and equipping us. In Jesus' name, everyone said, amen. We're going to have a fun day. I'm excited for today, though. We've had a lot of stuff going on in our family, the church body. Nikki and Brody had their little baby boy. If you're friends with them, you saw pictures. Their mom and baby are doing well. Family's doing well. They should be able to get to go home today. We've started a meal chain for them. We would like for the church to surround them. We've got several days that still need to be filled. So there was an email that got sent out. If you did not get that email or a text, let me know and we'll get that sent to you. And then we have flower picking today. Who likes to pick flowers? Okay. It's going to be one of those kind of days. We'll have to break you out of it. We have flower picking today at the Roberts Farm over in, is it Carbondale, McCanda? It's Carbondale, right? Yeah. And it's free from 2 to 5. You get to come out and pick beautiful flowers that they've offered to CCF, which is a great opportunity. And then tonight from 5 to 8 is the downtown Carterville is hosting their sunset concert. They're doing a gospel night. So a lot of the local churches got together and were like, hey, let's put together some really awesome worship set list. And we're this team that was just up here is going to be going on at 5:30 right down by the downtown dip. And it's going to be open so you can get your ice cream and worship. It's going to be amazing. So it's a lot going on today, and it's going to be a lot of fun. There is sign-up sheets in the lobby for the flower picking if you would like to take the bus. Just to kind of give you that heads up. So there's a lot going on, but with that being said, we have to start unpacking the word today. And I'm excited for it because we are almost done with this series called Stronghold. Now, this series has kind of positioned us as Christians to really battle and deal with the issues that we have going on. And a lot of us don't like to deal with our issues. We like to like avoid the issues, and that's going to be something we talk about next week. But today we're talking about immaturity. And not just immaturity of the faith, but intentional immaturity. Staying where we're at. And I know you guys are already like, oh, this guy. So don't turn me off so fast. Don't just immediately ignore. Please yield to what I'm saying today because it is through Scripture that we have this issue and then the Scripture is correct. So we always stand for God's Word. So I'm going to ask that you stand today for the reading. It's just a couple short long passages. Like I did that. So we're going to be in Hebrews chapter 5. If you don't have a Bible, there should be one around you, black hardback. That's our gift to you. We'd love for you to have it. But we're going to be in Hebrews chapter 5, verses 11, and then we'll go through 6:6. So about this, we have much to say, and it is hard to explain, since you have become dull of hearing. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the basic principles of the oracles of God. You need milk, not solid food. For everyone who lives on milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, since he is a child. But solid food is for the mature, for those who have their powers of discernment trained by constant practice to distinguish good from evil. Therefore, let us leave the elementary doctrine of Christ and go on to maturity, not laying again a foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith towards God, and of instruction about washing and laying of hands and the resurrection of the dead and the eternal judgment. And this we will do if God permits. For it is impossible in the case of those who have once again been enlightened, who have tasted the heavenly gift and have shared in the Holy Spirit and have tasted the goodness of the Word of God and the powers of the age to come, and then have fallen away, to restore them again to repentance, since they are crucifying once again the Son of God to their own harm and holding Him up to contempt. Let's pray. God, what a mighty word this is. What a powerful position that You've put us in, where we get to intentionally look at the state of our faith, at the state of our walk. Lord, allow us to hear these words with open ears, receptive in our soul, to change and make change the necessary actions that need to be done to follow You even more so. And we ask all this in Your Son's name. Amen. You may be seated. So I mentioned before, I was a youth pastor for many, many years, and kind of there was a game we used to always play, because my goal as a youth pastor was to punish the kids. That was kind of my world. It was like, hey, if I can make these kids that are terrible do something dumb, I'm going to try to make it happen. And I know you're like, what? That's stupid. In the form of like eating dumb stuff. Like eating hot stuff, and it was always fun. So there was a game we would always play with the guys, because they always were, you know, when you're a guy, it's like, hey, I'll give you $1 to do this. And the students were no different. So we played a game with baby food. And we would find, like, you know, the good baby food, like the bananas, and you're like, oh, this is good stuff. And then you get the nasty stuff, like the peas, and then some of it tasted like dog food that got, spit up. Like, it was nasty. And I'm saying this because one kid I had grew to like it. He was like, I'm going to eat all of it. And he ate every single jar. And then like a week later, he came back. He's like, dude, my diet's been nothing but baby food. And I'm like, I think you missed the point. And you know, some of those kids are just like, what? And this is kind of what Hebrews, the author, is telling us. He goes, hey, look, you were eating solid food. You were eating the good stuff. You were eating the stuff that was giving your body nutrition, away from the baby food, away from the stuff that you no longer need. And yet here you are going back to the baby food. Here you are retreating, growing young rather than growing up, in the concept of just growing down. That's what the state of this author was writing about, saying you Christians are doing this on purpose. It's like you've positioned yourself to become lesser rather than increasing in your knowledge and understanding and increasing your faith walk with God. Now, there's some warnings that come with this passage, and it's this warning of apostasy. This is the headline for it. And what apostasy is just this idea of an act of rebellion, almost a public denial of one's faith from what they once walked. And they're saying, listen, if you continue on the path of which you're going, you are going to end up here. You're going to end up no longer believing at all, no longer following Jesus, no longer having any sort of faith at all, because you're allowing yourself to be dumbed down. There was a joke that David and I make often now, because we saw something, and we talk, instead of saying you're full of wisdom, you're very wisdom. You know, like that's the state. Instead of growing in our wisdom, we're growing more dumb as a society. It's pretty easy to look around, and we have this conversation often. Like, do you think we're enhancing much? I was having a conversation with a buddy of mine this morning. We were saying, if you look back at the last 100 years, how far technology, how far ingenuity has advanced throughout the decades. And I was like, do you think we're going to see that kind of advancement? And we're like, probably not, because we're becoming very dumb people. And the scripture says that we become dull of hearing. And when you stop hearing, you stop learning. Vince Lombardi, you guys have heard that name before. I think one of the greatest things he did as a coach was whenever he took over a team, he walked into the locker room with a football and he said, this here is a football. Now, he's saying this to a group of professional football players. Now, on the outside looking, you're like, that is rather dumb. But he understood that he needed to tear down everything that they knew to get them to a foundational point so he could build off of. And for him, it was starting with the object, a football. For us, it's distinguishing that we are Christians. Some of us say we're Christians and we don't really live that life. We say we're Christians, but we don't do any sort of thing to back it up. Now, I'm not saying that you have to have works with your faith. Do not hear me today. But I'm saying that if you have a faith, you will show your works. Okay? If you believe and you profess Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I guarantee you, if you are following Him wholeheartedly, you will see fruits from that. You will not be the same person you was. There's no way. The Holy Spirit convicts you and changes you. But for some of us, we want to say, hey, we're a Christian. Look at us. And here we are yelling, screaming, belittling, destroying, being full of jealousy and rage and wrath. I mean, nothing has changed. And that's the problem. And if we're not careful, apostasy is what we're going to turn into. We're going to walk ourselves straight to the line of denying our faith rather than living it out vibrantly in this lost and broken world. Now, what I want to tell you today is I'm not doing didactic teaching. I'm not doing something where you, like, I know you, some of you guys take notes, and that's great, and I love it, but my goal is not to give you a bunch of notes to then to follow. My goal is to encourage you to follow Jesus even more so than you did when you walked in. To give you a new passion and a desire to follow Him wholeheartedly. Not just believe in Him, but to follow Him. There's a very big difference in just believing in Him and following Him, and we'll unpack that later today. And too often, the term Christianity is held strictly for just believing Jesus. Well, I believe in Abraham Lincoln, but that doesn't mean he did anything for me. You know what I mean? Like, we can look at historical figures and say, yeah, I believe that they walked on this earth, but if I'm not following their ways, their teaching, their guidance, their wisdom, their discernment, their everything, it's not going to have any effect on my life. Just merely believing is not enough. We've got to follow Him. And the issue is with intentional immaturity, we don't want to do that. We want to stay comfortable in our pew with our chair, our same spot, our same routine, our same habits, and then in doing so, we become prideful and arrogant in our ways. You will hate me by the end of today, I promise. But it is a conversation that we have to talk about. There was a poet whose last name was Nash, and he said, "You are only young once, but you can stay immature indefinitely." And for a lot of us, we don't want to grow up. I remember when I was young, I wanted to do nothing more but grow up. I was always the kind of kid that hung out with older kids when I was a freshman. I was hanging out with seniors. I mean, my cousin was older, so I was always around his friends. Like, I constantly was just trying to measure up older, trying to mature up way faster than I needed to be, which got me in a whole heap of trouble because I didn't have any of sort of the knowledge and the experience to back that maturity up. And unfortunately, in the church, we want to jump to a maturity level that we're not ready for. We want to jump ahead and say, hey, we're going to be this. But ultimately, what it does is it harms the church rather than helps the church. But the sad part is that some of us don't even get out of the chair. Some of us don't even try to do anything extra. At the beginning of the year, I charged us to do the first 15. How many of you guys, don't raise your hand, how many of you guys would actually say that you've been faithful to that spiritual discipline of waking up and saying, the first 15, 5 minutes in prayer, 5 minutes in worship, and 5 minutes in Scripture? I mean, we're asking for a mere 15 minutes, and yet some of us fail every day because we don't want to get up and grow up. So we'll talk about our wasted habits in a little bit. But Philippians 12, verse 2 and 12 says to work out his salvation with fear and trembling, meaning we can't just stay where we are. We have to be active in our faith. So why are we talking about intentional maturity? We're in this stronghold series where we're looking at areas in our life where I've charged the elders to kind of come up with different areas in which we see in our church, in our region, and in culture where strongholds lie. And this was one of the heavier ones, this intentional immaturity. And you can kind of plant this seed of immaturity, and it kind of goes in with comfort. It kind of goes in with personal autonomy. It kind of goes in with being indifferent about things. And your worldview is lacking because if you are not being mature in your faith, you're going to lack everywhere else, and it's going to become strongholds that will just hold you tighter rather than give you the freedom that Christ gives. You with me today? So we have to have this conversation, and there's some pitfalls to living intentionally immature. The first one is intentionally immature Christians are gullible. How many of you guys know somebody that is always the quick to say, oh, Facebook said this? So it's got to be true. Or so-and-so, did you hear what happened? It's got to be true. Anything that happens, we automatically believe anymore. I've mentioned this before, that I think social media has ruined society. I think it has been a great tool to get people to be communicative, to get people being able to get mass messages out. But when in terms of relationship, knowledge, and understanding, it has ruined who we are. 100%. There are so many things. This is the phrase that you'll hear me say today quite often. It's not incorrect. It's just not complete. And a lot of times you'll see theological things that are on social media, and they're not necessarily incorrect. They're just not fully complete. They're not expanded to where an understanding of what is being said would pull somebody into the believing position of, yeah, I understand that. I know it. It's giving me something, and we have a baseline, right? No, what happens is they give you just a little nugget, and you're like, oh, yeah, that sounds great. It must be true. There are so many churches that do studies and series over what Christians think is in Scripture and is not. And they're pretty funny because you'll throw one out there and they're like, oh, I always thought that was in the Bible. Apparently it's not. Like the love of money is the root of all evil. It's not the way it says it. Like there's just little things that there's little nuggets and seeds that people want to automatically believe because they see it, they read it, they hear it from so-and-so instead of turning to the true source and actually studying it themselves because they're complacent in their position. They'd rather be takers than actual contributors to the kingdom. And that's what we talked about last week. So this intentional immaturity brings Christians to a place of being gullible, being easily taken and forsaken. So Colossians gives us that warning to not be deceived, to not be held captive by empty philosophy. But it's what we do. My kids are at that age where my daughter's at that age. Crosby's not so much. My daughter Zoe, she's 8. She's at that age where she watches things on YouTube or she sees things at gym away from kind of where we're like, you know, helicoptering. And she sees things and she hears things. And then she comes back and she goes, well, so-and-so said this. And she gives me such attitude. And I'm like, hold up, little girl. Who told you that was right? Kind of like in the garden, whenever they're like, Satan was saying, who, did God really say that? Kind of like she comes at me with these things, and I'm like, where'd you hear that? Oh, well, so-and-so influencer family channel said it, so it's got to be true. And I'm like, hold up, no. And then what makes me really mad is then she doesn't believe what I say, so then she goes to her mom, and I'm like, did I not just say the same thing? Like, why are you undercutting me? And here we are, but this is what Christians do with the Word of God and what the Holy Spirit is doing, is we hear something, we see it, we read it, and we're like, yeah, it says it, but hey, what do you think about it? I don't care what you think about it. That's what the Word says. My opinion makes my vision blurry and fuzzy to where I will misguide anybody if I'm not staying true to the Word. We become gullible to everything we see in this life because we're intentionally immature. We don't want to grow up. We don't want to mature up. We want to be wisdom. So we live in this world of unbelief or belief in everything. The second one, actually I want to read some scripture on this. Ephesians 4:14 says, so that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning or craftiness is deceitful schemes. Or in deceitful schemes. See, when we're intentionally immature, that's what we get. We're tossed back and forth by whatever comes our way. Because we have no roots, we have no foundation. Being intentionally immature in our faith puts us in rough water without a boat, a life vest, or even the skill to swim. And guess what happens when you don't have a boat, a life vest, or a skill to swim? You sink. So a lot of Christians are sinking and they're too afraid to ask for help. They're too afraid to say, God, help me. They're too afraid to get on their hands and knees and plead with God to do something because they're prideful. They're arrogant. And we'll unpack that in a minute. But the second one that we'll talk about is intentional and mature Christians are controlled by fleshly impulses. I remember when I was young, I grew up very poor. I started working full-time when I was 16 years old. I actually started working when I was 14, like heavy working. But when I was 16, I was working full-time as a freshman in high school. And that first taste of money, growing up poor, I didn't have anything new, never got anything new. Like, it was rough. If you grew up poor, you know what I mean. The moment I got money, guess what? My fleshly impulses were crazy. I was getting a new phone like every other week, and I'm not elaborating one bit. I had a new phone probably every 6 months. I traded my car every single year. I lived on the barter system. If I could trade, that was my thing. But what it did was it put me in a state where I was just constantly controlled by my flesh. Where whatever I saw, I went after. Whatever I wanted, I tried to gain. Whatever I desired, I attained. And for Christians, this is a dangerous place to be because that's not how we are called to live. We are to surrender our flesh and be a living sacrifice for the Lord. But nobody wants to do that. How many of you guys want to come up here and be like, I am the model citizen for the kingdom of God. Look at me. Follow after my ways because I'm intentionally following after Jesus wholeheartedly in everything I do. How many of us would be like, yes, sign me up for that. I guarantee you not one hand goes up. But when we look at scripture, Paul's like, yes, follow after me as I follow after Christ because that's where my life is centered on. I'm not going after worldly things. I'm not chasing after this. Persecution, suffering, bring it my way. I will gladly still rejoice in this prison that I'm in and then bring people to know Jesus in the prison. Moment we get faced with trials and struggles, we run away. And then we talk about wasted habits. How many of you guys have wasted habits? Man, my wife likes to pinpoint this one at me. She's like, you know, the yard hasn't been mowed in forever. I'm like, yeah, I know. I want to watch football. But how quickly are we to do whatever we want in our flesh rather than doing what we know is right in our spirit? It's like that balance. You guys ever seen those big balance things? It's like our flesh is way out controlling our spiritual realm. Where every day we can make a deposit and try and intentionally be spiritual with our faith to change the balance of what we do. There's a thing on our phone that is very dangerous. And it's a time meter. Anybody know what I'm talking about? If you go in your phone, it breaks down how much time you spend on every single thing on your phone. Now, it's dangerous because you can look, and some of us, it's like social media or Facebook, 90% of your time. And your Bible's at like zero. Or YouTube is all the way up, or whatever. But if you have that in your phone and you can look it up, it's a really good identification marker to show you where you're wasting your time. Because we have a lot of wasted habits. The next one is pride. Intentional, immature Christians can't see past their pride. I don't want to spend a whole lot of time on these because I want to get to the meat of it. But intentional, immature Christians can't see past their pride or ego. There's that saying, pride comes before the fall. Have we heard that before? There's this obvious and presumptuous but proven true notion that we have become dull of hearing, as the scripture says in 5:11 of Hebrews. It says, about this we have much to say, and it is hard to explain since you have become dull of hearing. People who are prideful and are very ego-driven, they seek attention. They want the spotlight on them. They want everyone to look at them because their ego needs it to survive. Because their identity is found deeply rooted in what people think of them rather than what God thinks of them. They're driven by that idol of approval that we've talked about before. Intentional, immature Christians can't see past their pride. And for some of us, that's even getting past our pride to worship in church. As Christians, to stand up and actually sing a joyful noise for the Lord above who has given and redeemed you. And when I say the word redeem, we say that word often, but we don't ever unpack it. Redeem means that he's redeemed every single ounce in your soul, every experience, every moment, every conversation. He's redeemed it and will use it for the good. We don't want to live like that. We don't want to think like that. We want our past to be our past, but God uses our past to help other people see his faithfulness and his deliverance through the issues that we face. Don't be afraid of it. You've been redeemed by it. Pride always seeks attention. Pride makes others less important and exalts the self. John 3:30 has been one of my favorite verses. You got that one, David? And it's simply, he must increase and I must decrease. Amen. How many of us live like that? This right here is the prime example of a mature Christian in these seven words. He must increase and I must decrease. But for intentional and mature Christians, we don't want to let our pride do that. How dare we let someone else be exalted over us? Now, maybe you're like, I'm not a prideful person. You are. I'm going to leave it at that. There's a misconception and a fundamental truth that we have to unpack in these conversations, moving away from the danger and moving into more of the meat, that a spiritual maturity is not merely the intake of knowledge. This is what people believe. Well, I'll learn more. I'll learn and my knowledge will grow. My knowledge will increase and all these things will happen. And I'm going to get a big, I'm going to just continue to take in the intake in their knowledge. And the issue is it's a misconception. The more you learn doesn't mean that you're more mature. But we believe that. That's what a lot of people teach you. Is you gotta know everything. If you don't know this book, you're not going to be mature. It's not incorrect, it's just not fully complete. The more you learn doesn't mean the more that you're going to be more mature. A maturing Christian is more about the way we are formed. Okay? You hear me? Being a mature Christian is more about the way we are being sanctified rather than the way we're just taking in knowledge. You guys have heard that difference between book smarts and street smarts? I know a lot of people that are really smart when it comes to the books. They can pass any test. But I give them a real-world issue, they're dumb as a box of rocks. Like, they have no common sense because they've spent so much time just intaking everything rather than actually putting the wisdom to work. So what does formed mean? Justin Whitmell Early says, education is what you learn and know. Things you are taught. Formation is about what you practice and do. Things that are caught. The most important things in life, of course, are caught and not taught. And formation is largely about the unseen habits. We are all living according to a specific regimen of habits, and those habits shape most of our life. What does this mean? It means what you do and what you say you do dictates what you're going to be about. Let me tell you a secret, okay? In this life, you are being discipled by something. Every single person here is being discipled by something in this life. Something is training you, equipping you, molding you, shaping you. And as Christians, we are positioned to put ourselves before the Holy Spirit, saying, you point out the convictions inside of us and then allow the power of Jesus to remove them from our lives. But a lot of us Christians who want to stay immature are being molded by the world. We are being molded and shaped and formed by whatever is coming our way. Whatever situation, we have to take each one rather than knowing what's going to happen with the Lord being in charge. Your habits dictate what is your formation. If we are constantly positioning us to be with the Father and surrounded by the Father, whether that's in word, prayer, or worship, you are going to be shaped and molded by that. And it's going to drive who you are each and every day. But if you're positioning yourself to watch TV the moment you wake up or to just sit around in your recliner and get comfortable and just take the news or your phone or whatever, all you're going to get is more of that, and you're going to be discipled by that rather than being discipled by the only one that can actually change your life and add value to it. John 3:30. He must increase, I must decrease. I want you to take that away. One commentary put it like this in the conversation of immature Christians. The weakness of these Christians is their lack of appetite for a different diet. Now think on that for a minute. The weakness of these Christians is their lack of appetite for a different diet. When was the last time you told your soul, I need something different? I'm tired of chasing after this world. I'm tired of just going at it alone. I'm tired of this diet. That's weird to have that conversation where you put food and all this, but really it's just, are you still going after the same thing, or are you going after something greater, something more important, something that adds the value to your life? A lot of us don't. A lot of us don't live there. And it comes through discernment. And if when we read Hebrews 5, it talks about discernment is developed. A lot of us think discernment is just a spiritual gift that you automatically get the moment you become a Christian. It's not the case. Discernment is something that is developed and tested and practiced over time. Charles Spurgeon says, discernment is not simply telling the difference between right and wrong, but rather telling the difference between right and almost right. It's easy to sit here and say right and wrong, right? But what about this whole, it's right, but it's almost, no, it's either almost right or, so this is what I'm saying, it's either, it's not incorrect, it's just not complete. So discernment is developed within us, and then what discernment does is it aligns us to the will of God through the Word of God by the power of God. That's what discernment does. Discernment aligns us to the will of God through the Word of God by the power of God. The closer we walk with Jesus, the more likely we are to do His will, to be less of this world, to want to actually make Him known and not make ourselves known. Not trying to put us on a pedestal, but make sure that Jesus Christ is the one that is being seen by all. The goal of discernment is to reach maturity. Ephesians 4, verses 11 through 16 gives us the goal of maturity. And He gave the apostles and the prophets and the evangelists, the shepherds and the teachers, to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ until we attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes. Rather, in speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into Him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. That is the goal of maturity, is to grow up, so that we become equipped to not be tossed to and fro. As I was studying, there was a website I came across that was very trusted that I used. And it kind of gave us two tell of basically like a battle going on. You had one corner, you had Mr. Bookworm, and Mr. Bookworm knew it all. Man, he was intellectually like way up here, batting 1,000. He was in the major leagues when it came to intellect. He'd listen to Calvin, he'd listen to Piper, he'd listen to all these different scholars, and he knew it inside and out. He could give you any answer, and guess what? He was abrasive. He was one that would quickly come at you and say, every issue is a must issue that we must talk about. And he would fight you and fight you and fight you. He's about 20-something. This is Mr. Bookworm, right? He knew everything, and he was going to make sure you knew everything. He wasn't satisfied to just leave you where you were. He was going to come at you and come at you and come at you. And Mr. Bookworm is smart. He's very serious about his faith. He wants to serve the Lord, but he's not mature in his faith. He goes about things the wrong way. People don't like being around him because of his abrasiveness, because of his harshness sometimes, that people don't like necessarily being around him. And to make it worse, he talks too much. Right, we know those kind of people. Mr. Bookworm just talks way too much. You guys are looking at me like, you talk too much. He talks too much. He seems very conversational, and he's going to make sure that he pinpoints everything that's wrong with your theology. He's about 20-something, and he knows everything. On the flip side, you got Mr. Simple Faith. He's in his 40s, getting ready to turn 50. He's raised 4 godly kids who turn and walk with the Lord wholeheartedly. They know and trust him. He's done his job. He reads his Bible daily. He's not a scholar of any sorts, but he follows the Lord and he follows the will of God. He's the kind of person that would be an elder and a deacon very quickly in a church. He's the kind of person that you would look at for advice and counsel when you're going through a hard time, because he knows that he's going to be welcoming and gentle. He's going to kind of understand where you're at, but then point you to something greater. But he's not going to give you 10 books to read and give you a lecture and say, let's talk about the hermeneutics of whatever. No, he's just going to say Jesus loves you, and he's going to walk with you, and he's going to show you the error. That's Mr. Simple Faith. And they kind of end the question with these two, and they say, which one would you rather be with? Which one would you rather have in your church? Which one would you say is the complete mature? And they end the article and they say, well, neither. Because they're both incomplete. Because to stay simple in your faith means you're still not maturing. But to know it all and not actually have your faith and walk it out means that you're still not mature. So that you got to merge the two together. And bring it forth and just say that you can't just stay where you're at. And this is the whole idea about you can't just stay where you're at. If we just stay where we're at, we're not growing, we're not learning, we're not doing anything except for being spectators on the field, on the sideline. A knowledgeable Christian without maturity has potential they don't know how to use yet. It's kind of like giving an Apache helicopter to a five-year-old and saying, go have fun. You've got all the knowledge. I mean, they've got the machine. They've got the ability to argue and dissect and destroy. And yet, they've got a killing machine, and they don't know how to use it. But you give it to somebody that is skillful, that is mature, they can do a lot of damage. Amen? Christians, you have your Apache helicopter. You have your faith. Walk it out. The baseline for this conversation, and this is what I want to kind of move towards ending with, is not so much do you believe in Jesus, but are you following him? There is an issue with the church, and it is this idea of easy believism. Anybody ever heard that term before? When we say that term, people try to mistangle it however you want. And all it really boils down to is people simply say, yeah, there's Jesus, and then they live a reckless life. They say they're covered by the blood, but yet they're living complete sin. It's giving them that cop-out to say, yeah, I'm going to live however I feel like in my flesh. I'm going to do whatever I want, and I'm going to continue to do whatever I want because I got Jesus. No, Paul makes it clear. Do we continue to keep sinning? No. Just because we're covered by the grace doesn't mean we're going to live reckless. It means we're going to live intentional for Jesus. So if we fall into this trap of easy beliefism, which is just simply saying, yeah, there's Jesus, but not truly following him and not truly going after him and pursuing him daily, we stay immature in our faith. We stay in a position that doesn't help us. J.I. Packer wisely says, sinners cannot obey the gospel any more than the law without a renewal of the heart. I'll take it one step. I love the way Matt Chandler puts it. He says, the Bible knows nothing of a person believing in Jesus and having no intention of following him or submitting to him. There is no category for that in the Bible being classified as Christianity. I don't care if you declare Jesus, just simply declare. I want to know, are you following him? Is he your Lord and Savior? If he is your Lord and Savior and you make that profession, I guarantee you there's a renewal of your heart that is going to take place, which gives you that banner to say Christian, which gives you that boldness to then declare Jesus is my Lord and Savior, and I don't care what's going to happen. I'm going to strive after him. I'm going to go after him because of what he did for me on the cross. I told you 2 weeks ago, the biggest issue with the church is we don't know who God is and we don't know who we are in him. And I hold wholeheartedly believe that to be true each and every day that I see. Because if we truly understood who God was and we truly understood the sacrifice of Jesus, I'm telling you, your heart would be completely renewed. It would be completely changed, born again, following after him like there's no tomorrow, trusting and hoping that he is the security of our life. Because overcoming intentional immaturity means to actively follow after Jesus in order to become sanctified. Sanctification is the gift. Talked about that before. Sanctification is the work of God's free grace in our life because he loves you too much to leave you where you are. And I know this conversation isn't fun, and I know it kind of sucks. It's not like, here we go, saying suck again. It's not like the best conversation for us to have in the world. I know it's not like an encouraging one, but we got to have it because I love you guys. And I care too much and I fear the Lord too much to not have this conversation. Because honestly, if we don't understand our maturity in the faith of knowing who Jesus is and then following after him, and we leave it on the baseline of just knowing him, you are going to fall away. You are going to be a seed that never sets its roots and you are going to wither away. I've talked about this before. It's this whole idea of up and to the right. In this faith journey, we are all positioned somewhere. We are all in a movement. Stagnation is not an option. You are either moving closer to Jesus or you're moving away from him. Remember, you're being discipled by something. Each and every day, you are moving either closer to the cross or you're moving away from it. The goal is, if you're a math person, up and to the right is a good thing. You with me? So in your faith, are you moving up and to the right by following Jesus? And in doing so, by moving up and to the right, gives you the strongest stronghold killer we could have. And it's a life of continual surrender. We live in a generation now that we don't want to surrender to anything. No authority, no law, no man, definitely not a human, right? But thankfully, our God was fully man and fully human, that came to this earth to live perfectly, a life that we never could, to be the forever atonement for our sins. He took our place on that cross, and we should live like it, as holy sacrifices. So if when we continuously surrender our life to him, it's not going to happen just overnight, right? The scripture says 1 degree from glory to the next. 1 degree over a week is not a whole lot, right? But 1 degree over 10 years is drastic change. We've got to continuously surrender. And in that continuous surrender, we've got to commit to grow. We've got to take the steps to decide we're going to follow after this Jesus. We're going to look into scriptures. We're going to gain knowledge and not just leave it there. We're going to pursue knowledge. And then we're going to put our faith into practice and take what we've learned and then walk it out. Actually go tell people about Jesus. And then the last one is we're going to seek accountability. Because we don't like this part. But when we seek accountability, what it does is it now puts other people to say, hey, are you actually following him? Are you actually dedicating your life to him? I saw you at Walmart and that didn't look like you were a Jesus follower there. I saw what you posted online and that doesn't align with scripture. Hey, I saw it. It's accountability, and accountability is a great thing for us. Because if we don't have accountability, you know what we fall into? Self-righteousness. If no one is pointing and saying, hey, I don't know about that. Or, hey, we're going to think we're just awesome. And I'm here to tell you you're not. But Jesus is. Every elders meeting that we have, I charge them and I say, what am I doing wrong? Critique me. You can ask any of them. Every single meeting we have, I say, I want you to tell me what I need to do differently. What am I struggling with? What am I going through? Help me do this. Because I need that accountability just as much as anybody else needs that accountability. It's about a life of continuous surrender to Jesus. Team, if you guys come up. As we wrap up, I want to encourage you today to respond in your faith. Whether that's just simply where you're at, declaring to God, I've been living reckless. I've been living a life on my own. Even though I know who you are, even though I may or may not have, when I was 6 years old, declared you as my Lord and Savior and been living wilding out. In this moment, I want to surrender my life again. I encourage you to come to the altar and lay it at the feet of Jesus. Life is way too short for us to continue to try to be egotistic and prideful in our way and try to hold something over God. No, lay it at his feet and give him the glory for it. We have to grow up, church. Let's pray. God, I thank you for this day. I thank you for the opportunity of continuous surrender. I thank you for your son, Jesus Christ, becoming our eternal atonement. God, I don't think we understand the weight of that. Lord, believing in you is salvation. But following you is where the trust comes in.
and the hope that you are who you are. So God, today as we have a hard conversation about immaturity, we have a hard conversation and we want to turn it off and say, that's not me, I do this. Lord, encourage us to look at our habits. Encourage us to check our egos and our pride. Push us and challenge us to what we believe and why we believe it. Lord, bring us to our knees for your goodness. Humble us and say, there are convictions inside of us that we can't deal with on our own. There are strongholds that are choking us out, and we're too afraid or embarrassed to even speak it. You are a chain breaker. You are freedom. You are liberation. Lord, help us understand that. Lord, as we worship you and we get ready to take communion, God, I just give you the glory today. I give you the recognition that you deserve and the adoration of just how holy and righteous you are and how little we are. But you still call us and love us. So God, today give us encouragement. Give us strength as we just pursue and chase after you. In Jesus' name, amen.